Let's pray. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus this evening that you grant us wisdom and revelation, knowledge of your Son Jesus, that there be precision and accuracy in what we say and what we hear, and we'll behold him as he sees us in him. Amen. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 12. Praise God. Verse 1. Now, concerning, we're looking at the, what's that again? Help me out. New Testament ministry. I call it ministering the Spirit, understanding New Testament ministry. Well, I have a right to change it. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, verse 1, 1 Corinthians 12, I would not have you ignorant. Now, notice the term ignorant. That means the things of the Spirit need to be taught. You need to teach them. Explain it. And you discover in the book of Acts, the reason why most of the confusion on tongues and things like that came from the book of Acts, because there was no explanation there. But you see, as much as there were no explanations there, we're grateful for the experiences. Because the Spirit, things of the Spirit need to be taught and seen both ways. Right? So, but then, if they are taught and not seen, it becomes academic. If they are seen and not taught, it's prone to error. So they've got to be taught and then what? Seen. Now, in this church, for example, in 1 Corinthians 1 and 7, Paul acknowledged a vital truth. So that, he says about this church, you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of the Lord. It's vital that the word he uses in Corinth is charisma. You come behind in no gift. Right? The word charisma. We looked at charisma last week, remember? Well, let's come back to something. So he says, you came behind in no charisma. That is an entire church. That means this particular church had all the charisma. Later on in chapter 12, verse 4, he says, now there are diversities of charismata, there's more than one, but the same Spirit. So in one church, he had everything functioning. You know, the funny thing is that this is the church he says you are yet carnal. Isn't that funny? I thought that seeing the gifts of the Spirit in operation is what will make a church spiritual, but he's saying nope. They have all that in demonstration. But he's saying they are still babes. In other words, having all the gifts in operation doesn't mean you're spiritually mature. But not having them at all doesn't mean you're mature at all. So really, amen. So here we go. You know, look, let's hear Jesus. John's Gospel, chapter 7. Remember, we're talking about ministering the Spirit. John 7, verse 37. John's Gospel 7, verse 37. Like I mentioned, I said last week, that what I'm teaching first service and second service and Wednesday, they're like a package. The law and the prophets. Then second service is what? The anointing. Sorry, the anointing, the anointed, and the anointing oil. Right. Very vital truth. It's not just about the oil. It's actually about explaining the character of God. So that was clear enough. Okay, now watch this. John's Gospel 7, 37. In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and cried, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Look at the tense as well. He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now, the word water is a figure of speech. Alright? That's why he will tell you later, this he spake he of the Spirit. So that means that water was what? A figure of speech. Now, earlier on in John 3:3, he said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom. I remember when I was younger, I was trying to, you know, explain a revelation, deep revelation, because I heard it from another friend. So I said, you can be born again, but you are not born of the water and the Spirit. And when you are born again, you see. When you are born of the water and the Spirit, you enter. And you say, ah! You know, and we're all silly. You know. So, except man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom. Then Nicodemus asked a question in 4. Then Jesus in 5 says, except a man is born of water, right? That is, that's the word and, that is, or which is, the Spirit. He cannot enter into the kingdom. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the water, not of the Spirit, he is Spirit. Verse 8, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So what's emphatic there? The word Spirit. So water is the Spirit. So water is there? Figure of speech. John 4:14. The water I shall give in him shall be a well springing up unto everlasting life. So water again, life, figure of speech. So John 7, water again, figure of speech. Now, in verse 38, one more time, it says, for as the scripture has said, out of his belly. Now there is no, I've done a study over the entire Bible on this verse. There is no scripture that says this. There's no verse of scripture that says, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living. So, Jesus was doing what you can call a summative explanation to summarize what the scripture says. Not that he was referring to anywhere particular in the scripture. So, in other words, that means there has been a promise in the Bible concerning this. Now, we could just back up and see a few similar texts. You know, Ezekiel 47 talks about river. You know, makes sense. So that must be one of the places Jesus referred to. Ezekiel 47. You find Zechariah 14:8. Maybe we should look at it. Zechariah 14:8. The funny thing about most of these texts that I have here about this is that they seem to be very judgmental. Alright. Zechariah 14:8. It shall be in that day, living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them towards the former sea, and half of them towards the inner sea. In summer and winter shall it be. Zechariah 14:8. Jeremiah 2:3. Now every time you read from a promise in the Old Testament, that promise is about who? It's about Jesus. Jeremiah 2:3. For my people have committed two evils, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living water. So he calls him the fountain of living waters. Jeremiah 17:3. So the fountain of living waters refer to God. 17:3, which obviously is Jesus. 17:13. All of the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed, and they that depart from me shall be ridden earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. So it seems to say God's the fountain of living waters. So out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Who is the he? All right. Who does the scripture speak about? The scripture speaks about Jesus. So out of his belly, because what he says is, let him come to me and drink. So Jesus is the one that gives what? The water. What you do is we drink. So the belly, out of his belly there, is not out of the belly of the believer. The believer is the one that comes to what? Come to me and drink. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit, which they that receive, that believe him should receive. Are you there? It is a shall give to receive. So Jesus is the focus there. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Why does he use water as a figure of speech for the Spirit? That speaks of life, newness. All right? And we'll see later, sanctification. So, Jesus is saying, now watch that, John 7:39. For Jesus, the Spirit has not been given. Why? Because Jesus has not been glorified. Now, mark that because that's very vital. That means the giving of the Spirit is an event in the resurrection. The Spirit was only given in the resurrection. In the resurrection of Jesus is the giving of the Spirit. Now, go back to 1 Corinthians. You came behind in no gift. I told you the term gift of the Spirit, except when you see in Hebrews 2:4, is not found in the Pauline epistles. The gift of the Spirit is not found in Pauline epistles. It's safer to say gifts in the Spirit, because that's where they are. 1 Corinthians 12:4. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. So, the gifts are where? The gifts are in the Spirit. So, say in the Spirit. Good. Now, 1 Corinthians 6. So, he that believes in me, out of his belly shall flow. Nope. Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. So, drinking is what? Drinking is what? Drinking is to believe. Okay? Hey, come on. That's simple. Huh? Drinking is to what? Believe. So if you just opened your mouth, that the answer. Here you have gotten some saliva in your mouth. But he was, he's definitely speaking of what's going to happen at his resurrection. So there were things Jesus said, you know, right there that didn't happen until he rose from the dead. Is that clear? Back to 1 Corinthians 6. In verse 11. Watch how he speaks of the Spirit. You know, last week we looked at the Spirit of Revelation. Remember? 1 Corinthians 2, 10. God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Okay? 1 Corinthians 2, 12. We have not received the Spirit of this world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Alright, so we saw that last week. Now, let's proceed further. In chapter 6, in verse 11, he says, and such were some of you, but you are, notice again, washed, alright, and sanctified, and you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. You are justified, you are sanctified, washed by the Spirit of God. Now pay attention. Verse 17, let's take 17 together. He that is joined unto the Lord is what? One Spirit. So we're talking about the Spirit that sanctifies, justifies, right? And then washes. And it says, you are one Spirit. Okay? 19. Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own. So, he's saying to us that we're one Spirit. Alright? We're washed by the Spirit. We're sanctified and justified. Then he says we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Then he now tells you, in chapter 12, verse 4, now there are diversities of spirit, of gifts, that's charisma. Remember charisma? Charisma is what? What? Just last week. Huh? Charisma is what? What's what? Natural endowment. Too quick. What exactly does that say? When you have it, it's yours. So charisma means it's yours. Is that clear? So, pay attention here. So he says, charisma was yours. And why is it so? We did a foundation last week. Remember? Romans 1:16. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, first the Jew and the Greek, for therein is what? The righteousness of God revealed. I thought last week we looked at that. Right? The righteousness of God. The righteousness of God is righteousness through faith. Amen? So I said, well, this nation needs righteousness. What righteousness are you talking about? Righteousness! What are you talking about? People are taking one way. You know that kind of sound is very appealing. Say, what's happening in our country? People are collecting bribes. God is angry with us. We need the way of righteousness. Better than a year. What's that something? I choose the way of the Lord. Oh, the way of the Lord is the way of what? Of what? Wisdom. I heard it from her. I choose the way. She said in a meeting. Prophecy. I was looking at her. What? Oh, the way. 2006, I think. Oh, the way of the Lord is the way of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So if you laugh at Peter today, I will get a hold of you. Is it that you are in righteousness? No. What righteousness is talking about? People need to kill. They need to kill up. That is not the righteousness of God. Godless nations have that. Hallelujah. The righteousness of God is for a man to believe. Hallelujah. That by faith, he is not guilty. Amen. To believe the gospel. The righteousness of God is not, people are now, they are now dressing up, they are not opening their body. Maybe it's cold. I got some stuff today. Now I think I want it recorded. There's some stuff. You know, someone, on Sunday when I talk about Abraham, you're around, son, talk about Abraham and Abraham, how Abraham made his money. And some guys were dazed. Abraham's blessings. Let's go. So, the righteousness. How do we know the right? Now, don't forget we said that every gift is a gift of righteousness. The Holy Spirit is a gift of righteousness. The gifts of the Spirit are because of what? Righteousness. Now, notice this. Go to Philippians 3. We're there last week. You here? Are you still there? And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law. So, every righteousness of the law is your righteousness. Okay? He says, but that which is through the law, the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. No. Look at what he says. Pay attention here now. She says, there is a righteousness which is of him. Now look at verse 8. Yet doubtless I count all things yet loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord. What the? For whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I might win Christ. Now, where did he start from? What was he discussing? Verse 4. Though I might have confidence in the flesh, if any man think otherwise, other man think that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, he says, I more. So, he begins to roll out his CV. And then he says, if I am going to believe in Jesus, I must not boast in those things. If I am going to, in other words, faith in Christ immediately annuls the works of the law. So if I am going to win the knowledge of Jesus Christ, I must what? I must count this loss. I don't know, you know what loss is. I told you on Sunday what loss means. It means you did a transaction and you didn't make money at all. And not just that, your entire investment went down the drain. That's happened to me before. You just go home and say, when I remember, I shout hallelujah, when I remember. Hallelujah. So I was telling him, if you want to succeed in business, pray in tongues. I laughed. Why do Christians tell lies? How will praying in tongues make you succeed in business? Praying in tongues edifies himself. Just pray in tongues, the ideas will come. I've said it before. Philippians 3, look at this. I count them but dung. That was dung is the word scubalon. Just used once by Paul. S-K-U-B-A-L-O-N. Scubalon. Scubalon means waste from, watch this now. It's actually used for the excreta of animals. I don't find anybody cooked that before. You know, have you kept poultry? No. Or dog stuff. I don't like dogs. Less to stuff. So he says, all those stuff you were trying to do, say, God, where's your face? And then you dressed up for his face to see. You know, all the stuff you do. He says, it's all what? Excrete. Let's call it feces. Now, so he says, I consider, how many of you have ever boasted about dog feces? Come and see. I don't think anybody has ever told anyone. Come and see what I do in the toilet. I think. I'm trying to be as graphic as possible. You know, many times you don't want to look back. Why is Pastor talking? It's in the Bible. You don't want to look back there. Oh, I'm a heavy pusher. He's saying to you, that's exactly how the walks are. Don't look back. He's smelling bad. He's smelling bad. You mean Pastor, 40 years? Oh, my 40 years of smelling bad. You wasted your time. You just wasted your time. All causing loss. What it was. Praise God. Look at this now. Go to Romans 3. Romans 3. Where is boasting, verse 27 then? You know, he had told you about the righteousness which is through faith. From verse 22 down to 26. He says, therefore, I declare this time his righteousness, that he might be just, and the justifier of him that believes in Jesus, which believes in Jesus. Where is boasting then? That's a rhetorical question. So where is the boasting? Look at the word boasting. The word boasting, pay attention here, is used, depending on what you're talking about, sometimes is used to talk well about the grace of God. Romans 15, 27. The grace of God. What God has done. 1 Corinthians 15, 31. The grace of God. In 2 Corinthians, pay attention here. 1, 12. 2 Corinthians 1, 12. 2 Corinthians 7, 4. He's glorying in his own disciples. In people that have been, that fed on the word of God through his ministry. 2 Corinthians 8, 4. He's glorying in the conduct of the church. 2 Corinthians 11, 10 and 17, same thing. He says a whole lot about folks, you know, who have been the brethren, their conduct, the way they responded to the word. But then in James 4, all right, verse 16, glorying in self. To glory in self. In fact, in 1 Thessalonians 2, 9, he mentions glorying in men. Say, what's our glorying? Let's take that one. 1 Thessalonians 2, 9. I think so, it's 2, 9. First Thessalonians 2, 9, all right, 19. What is our hope? Our joy or crown of rejoicing? Are you not even in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? That's what he meant. Something you rejoice over. So he's saying here, now, in James 4, 16, talking about boasting about self. So he said, what is then boasting? Go back to Romans 3, hurry up. What is boasting then? He says, boasting is what? Huh? Is what? Excluded. Boasting is excluded. It's not involved. Boasting is excluded. So whenever you find the righteousness which is not of God, it will be about you. If it's righteousness through faith, it will be about Jesus. That's how you know. How do I know righteousness which is of the law and of faith? If it's of the law, it talks about you. If it's of faith, it talks about Christ. Which plain is he? You still there? Look at Luke 18. Luke 18 had two folks, a Pharisee and a publican. Luke 18. The Pharisee, let's see how he prayed. Two men went up into the temple to pray. Remember, they went to the temple. The reason why the temple was built was so that men can offer sacrifices for sin. But look at what this guy goes to say. He says, Pharisee stood up and prayed thus with himself. Verse 11. He prayed with himself. Oh, and he says, God. You know, when you hear God, you think the man is a cool guy. God, I thank thee, thanksgiving, that I am not as others. Other men, as extortioners. You know, this kind of prayer is, it looks good. I'm not an extortioner. I'm not an unjust adulterer, even as this publican. That's quite crazy. He's opening his eyes in prayer. So, he says, you know, I am not. That's what he said. I am not. I am not. I am not. That's how we pray. And then, the other guy, but you know, really, that's the kind of prayer we like to pray in the flesh. I'm not something. I've had a, you know, somewhere in your mind, I know you, somewhere in your mind you want to pray and then you look at, your mind races through the week. It's been clean so far. I'm cool. Did I do anything then? I didn't. Okay, Father, in the name of Jesus. That's exactly what the guy did. Then here comes the publican. Publican is supposed to be a registered sinner. No, he didn't stop. They said, I fast twice in the week. And I give tithes of all that I possess. What else are you looking for? I mean, this is a believer. And the publican standing afar off would not lift so his eyes as much as eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, give me a sacrifice. That's what it must be. Provide me a sacrifice to me, a sinner. That's what he said. Give me a sacrifice. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified than the other. For everyone that exalts himself shall be abased. All right? And he that humbles himself shall be exalted. So we have the righteousness which is of the law. I fast twice a week. I do this. I do that. You know, people say, remind God. You know, sometimes you're about to pray. There's a problem in your business, your family, or something. Father, let me remind you. Say, remind him. Remind him. I've sought you. I've been there. Today, I came in the rain to church. Evil times, sometimes. I come to the service. And Brother Beckley is frowning his face. I still come and I praise the Lord. Oh God. I wanted to join the music team. They threw me to walks. Oh God. Sorry, am I saying something? Am I talking to anybody here? Oh God. He hold me. Remind him. You know, that looks cool. Remind him of what you've been through. God will be provoked. You did all this? You mean you did all this? Chop knuckle, chop knuckle. You got it. He prayed to himself. But the righteousness which is of faith talks about you. Hallelujah. There's no boasting. That's twice a week. Hey. You know? Hear this. Why is it so? Now go to Hebrews 8. Hebrews 8 tells us that the law was a fault finder. Have you ever had this phone finder? Looks for phone. Boom! It only becomes active when it sees a phone. The law becomes active when it sees sin. That's what the Bible says. For the strength of sin is what? The law. The strength of sin is the law. That means if you see sin, how to make it stronger is give a law. You empower it. The strength of sin is the law. The sting of sin is death, and the strength of sin is the law. Pay attention. Sometimes you think that's how to preach. You know, there's a series going on in many churches now about homosexuality. And I'm thinking, so that'll make people stop? For many, they're actually educating them what it is, about what it is. Paul said, I did not know until the Lord told me. He actually educated people. Hallelujah. So, the law doesn't work until he sees a fall. Yeah! God's active. The Lord doesn't want faith. Hebrews 8. Yeah? Are you in Hebrews 8? Watch this. He says in verse 8, finding fault with them. So the law found fault. First covenant. Found fault. Verse 8. Finding fault with them. Now look at the new covenant. Hebrews 8. Hebrews 8, the new covenant says, I'll put my law in their minds and write them in their hearts. And I'll explain this to you, that this is the indwelling of the Spirit. And I'll be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach. Notice what it says, I'll be to them a God. It happens like what they referred to as God in the old covenant was incorrect. That's why he says, in this new, I will be God. In other words, there will be a total who God is. Yes. It will be a total makeover. That means whatever they had in the old covenant was a wrong impression. So it says here now. I will be God to you. That is, I'll be a God. That means that it's not like God changed. No, it's now that there's a revelation of God. They never had no covenant. Now, pay attention. He says, I'll be a God, shall be a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor, every man his neighbor, say no Lord. For they shall know me from the least to the great. That tells you that's the Spirit, the work of the Spirit. Right? Because every time we read the new covenant, it says, I'll put it in their heart. That's the Spirit. Is that clear? Okay. Not that he's going to write the Ten Commandments in your spirit. Thou shalt not. So he'll be carrying Ten Commandments like the Ark of the Covenant. No. Verse 12. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness. And their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. The word there is mimnesko. That means I will not refer to it. I will not refer to it. They shall know me from the least to the greatest. Now, notice what he says the new covenant is. Their sins and their iniquities, I will not refer to it. I will not make it a subject of discussion. Now, pay attention. Remember, we are discussing ministry in the Spirit, understanding New Testament ministry. So, if the New Testament ministry says, their sins, iniquities, will I remember no more. New Testament ministry. The righteousness of God, which is by faith, says there's no boasting. Romans 3:27. Boasting is excluded. By what law? It says the law of faith. The law of faith. When I see the way some people talk about faith, they're actually not talking about the faith of God. I spoke. I said it. It came to pass. That's not the faith of God. It looks like it, but that's not it. The faith of God talks about Jesus. Hallelujah. And so I say. Look at our ministry. In 1991, we said we are going to build this place, we built it. You go back. Now, listen, I'm not trying to be funny, but you know you can get the same testimony from Bill Gates? Bill Gates said the same thing about Microsoft. Same thing Steve Jobs. And they were boasting in their what? Abilities. If it's the faith of Christ, there will be no boasting. Save Jesus Christ. Still out there? Amen. Let's go on. That's why the new covenant, pay attention now, sin is not preached in the epistles. Sin is mentioned. You know, I can mention sin and not preach it. Sin is not preached, taught, or explained. That's why we do not have clear. Many times we need to sometimes go to the Old Testament to understand the sin he's talking about. Sometimes you say, well, what is this referring to here? You have to go back. I showed you on Sunday, I'm going to explain a bit more on Sunday, that it's a total lie to say that Sodom was destroyed because of homosexuality. I think I showed you on Sunday. A lie. It's not true. Not true. Okay, go on. Look at Romans 4. Learn something? Romans 4. Watch this. Verse 13. I want to read together. Romans 4, 13. Let's go. For the promise that he will be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed, but through the law. Hallelujah. Not through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. So keep going to Jerusalem, okay? Verse 15. Let me ask you. Are you aware Abraham was never in Jerusalem? Just to remind you. Verse 15. Because the law works what? Wrath. For where there's no law, there's no transgression. The law works wrath. That word is orge in the Greek. O-R-G-E. It's for punishment and vengeance. Punishment. Where you find people being punished, that's the law. The law works vengeance. It works wrath. Wrath. Are you still there? The law works wrath. Look at 16. Let's read 16 together, everybody. 16, let's go. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be. Watch this. Now, what promise did they have? The promise of righteousness. Let's take 16 one more time. Therefore, it is of faith that he might be by grace. I love this explanation a lot. It's of faith that he might be by grace. To the end that the promise might be sure to all to see. So wait. It is of faith that he might be by what? It is of faith that he might be by what? That is, if it's of grace, it has to be by faith. Because grace means charis, a gift. You know, if it's of faith, it has to be by grace. If it's of grace, pardon me, it has to be by faith. So, what makes it sure unto everybody is why? Why is it sure unto all? Because it is by faith, so it will be by grace. Because, why is it sure unto all? Everybody can believe. Everybody will not meet up to the law. Nobody will, but everybody can believe. Hallelujah. So it's of faith that he might be by grace. Hallelujah. It's of faith that he might be by what? Grace. Sure unto all. The law is not of faith. Now look at Romans 4:1. Romans 4:1. I remember I had to ask this question because there was a dear sister who was in a particular meeting and they were asked to bring a seed for 24-hour miracle. Really? You know, I've always laughed at that stuff. You know, but 24-hour miracle. Now people talk about it. They say, well, that you bring something, 24-hour miracle. And then 24 hours over. Nothing has happened. Well, the Bible says the day with the Lord. Like a thousand years. You know. And then somebody says, well, what should the sister do? She's waited 24 hours, maybe 24 hours, the miracle hasn't come. You know, everybody always has disciples. Even the fool has. Then someone said, how do you know it has not happened? What kind of nonsense is that? It's bad enough that you swindled me to give. You are not swindling my brain with it? I don't know when it has happened. And nobody asks, can the lady collect back our gifts? I said, yes. Because, she said, but she gave willingly. No, you didn't give willingly. You gave by condition. You were paying for a miracle. For crying out loud. If I give you, you say, I'll supply your car in 24 hours. And I give you money so that my car comes in 24 hours. That wasn't by faith. If you want me to walk by faith, you will talk to me that you will bring a car to me. Then I will wait for the car. That's faith. If you ask me to do something, that is a transaction. That is the law. People don't get it. When we teach that that is not giving, they don't get it. Giving is not an exchange in return. What is working is the law of sin and death. Is that there? That's not giving. A whole lot of people are giving in churches and it doesn't please God. What they're doing is functioning under the law of sin and death. That's a transaction. And hey baby, I have a right to collect back my property. You promised me 24-hour miracle. It's 2 years. Hey buddy, give me back my property. Amen. That's as simple as it is. You don't start lecturing me after my money has come out. No, you keep your word. Where's my miracle? Say, wait, God? God how? Tell him to return my property. Oshisko. That's not giving. Are you still there? Romans 4:1. What shall we say that Abraham, our father, according to the flesh, has found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he would have to glory, but not before God. He would have to glory, but not before God. If I make a smart investment, he don't say, oh, to the glory of God. What does that mean? Amen. What's here? Abraham believed God. It was counted to him for righteousness. To him that walks is what? The reward. You got a reward back. To him that walks. But, and record not of grace, but of what? Death. That's not grace. Because you actually did something to qualify. But look at the next verse. Verse 5. To him that walks not. Hallelujah. Seen that now? To him that walks not, does nothing but to believe. Hallelujah. To believe. to believe on him justifies the ungodly. His faith is counted for righteousness. Look at Luke 6. Many times, and look at a scripture, how saying this, I'm going to read it again. I was an assistant fellowship coordinator of a denomination. And because of my responsibility, I used to collect the offerings. Offering time, blessing time. We can all be funny. You know, sometimes we joke so much that angels really are wondering, how confused are we? My hands are filled with me, anything I touch, what's wrong with you? Get serious with your Christian life. We are jumping in the light. Stop that! Sit down, fall down, fall. Are you okay? Be serious about your faith. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. So I will be the one to take the offering. So I will say, well, brethren, time to give. The Bible says, you frown. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down. People have even done a series on it. What is good measure? Pressed down. Shake it together. You read the Amplified Version. If you know how negative that verse is, you won't use it again. Look at it again. Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Shall men give unto your bosom? For with the same measure that you meet, we shall be measured to you. The point I was saying was that there was something I kept saying that I did not know was not there. I never knew it wasn't there, and I said it long enough. In fact, I said it so confidently that I thought it was there. You know, there's some words you think it should be there. And it's not there. I preached in the convention in 1998 of a denomination in Nigeria. And I said, the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, is a new creature. All things are passed away. Everybody together, and said, all things shall become new. I thought I was in a vision. All things shall become new. Shall? It was programmed in their mind that it shall become new. The day they know the proper word, they may leave that church. Sir, you mean all things have become new since this? Since pastor will say, I didn't know too. We all need a pastor. Are you there? Watch this now. What does this verse mean? The same thing, the same statement was in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, verse 1. Now, I'm repeating this. I've taught this before over the years. I'm repeating it for a purpose. Matthew 7, 1. Judge not that you be not judged. Matthew 7, 1. Matthew 7, 2. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. Same statement. Luke 6. What was Jesus discussing? Judge not, verse 37. And you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall forgive. Be forgiven. He's not talking about God. He says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Give what? Judgment, condemnation, forgiveness. It shall be given to you good measure, pressed down. So if you judge, get it back, good measure, pressed down, shaking together, and running over judgment, shall men give unto your bosom. He didn't say, shall God. Every time he says, shall men, that is the law of sin and death. For with the same measure that you meet without, it shall be measured to you again. Transactional conduct is the law of sin and death. Forgive so that you will be blessed. Law of sin and death. Make sure that you don't get angry so that is the law of sin and death. That means it's a reward that you get. Now look at what Jesus said earlier. Jesus wasn't talking about God in 37 and 38. He was talking about man. Now in Luke 6, look at this now. Verse 28. I'll start from 27. Love your enemies. Do good to them that hate you. That's not 37 and 38. If they hate you, you do good. Bless them that curse you, he says. Pray for them that despitefully use you. To him that smites thee on the one cheek after also the other. And him that takes away thy cloak, forbid not to take their cloak also. Archbishop of the house, I would say. If the tongue is held the cheek and you slap it, Jesus didn't tell you what to do next. I don't know what he means. Give to every man that asks of thee, of him that takes away your goods, to ask him again. That's not what he's saying in 38. And as you would men do to you, so you do to them likewise. Verse 32. If you love them, pay attention now. If you love them that love you, what thank have you? For sinners also love those who love them. Love, sin, and death. If you do good to them that do good to you, what thank have you? For sinners also even do the same. Now look at 34. If you lend to them that who have hope to receive, what thank have you? For sinners also receive as much gain. Sinners are the ones that give so that they can receive. Not believers. That's the law of sin and death. Look at this now. Let's take verse, look, come on, are you there? Let's take 35. But you love your enemies. Do good. Lend, hoping for nothing again. That's not good for offering. And your reward shall be great. And you shall be the children of the highest. For he is what? Kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye merciful as your heavenly father, your father is merciful. Judge not that you be not judged by men. Condemn not that you be not condemned by men. Forgive so that men will forgive you. Give it shall be given unto you by men. Jesus is talking about how sinners act. And we've used that for offering. We have put believers in the position of the bondage of the law of sin and death. People now give offering to please God so that they can be blessed. No! They are functioning under the law of sin and death. That is not the New Testament ministry. New Testament ministry says, just give. Give because you are a child of God. Give because it's in your nature to give. Hallelujah! Don't give to be blessed of God. God doesn't bless you because you gave. God blesses you because he blesses. That's why he says to the wicked and the just, he does the same thing. So if you pray for increase and the unbeliever prays for increase, you will both get answers the same way. Let me say that one more time. James says, let him ask of God who gives to all men liberally and does not look for fault. That has nothing to do with being a Christian. That's nothing to do with being a Christian. At all. He makes his sun to shine on everybody. His rain to fall on everybody. And that explains why the prosperity gospel has always been a nonsense. It's not realistic. It's not true. Believers are not on the top 10, top 100, top 1,000. Why? Because they are giving. Let's go on. Oh, no, it makes sense. Why you're supposed to be industrious, look for ideas, you think it's by sowing and reaping. And you're reaping stupidity. Amen. So, we give like our Heavenly Father. That means to the unthankful he will give. That means he doesn't get anything back from the unthankful. But he gives. And that's how we give. When we give, our need is not in our mind. It is other people's need that is in our mind. That's how God thinks. That's how God acts. So, a New Testament ministry does not minister Luke 6:38 as giving in the church. Luke 6:38, for a New Testament ministry, he condemns it. Are you still there? Let's go further. That's why he says, Romans 12, go back to Romans 12. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I had an elder like that, an elder brother, that said, vengeance is mine. He says it like this. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. You know what that means? Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay, saith the Lord. I'm wondering, what does it mean? Vengeance is mine. Calm down. It says, therefore, because of this, if your enemy hunger, feed him. That's his vengeance. If he's thirsty, give him drink. That's vengeance. For in doing so, you heap up coals of fire on his head. Coals of fire means to ask for forgiveness. Same thing. Do good to them that hate you. That's God's vengeance is his kindness. God's vengeance is his love. Amen? So he says, do not be overcome, Romans 12, of evil. But overcome evil with what? That's how the Heavenly Father is. So sin was never preached. I came back there. In the epistles. Let me run through this. The word sin, or sin, is used in Romans 43 times. And all the 43 times, except Romans 14:23, whatever is not of faith is sin. It talks about what Jesus has done. It relates sin with Jesus. Adam or Jesus. And Romans is the book where you have the word sin the most in the epistles. And it's focused on what Christ has done. It's still there. You find the word sin again used. Romans, I mentioned Romans. One more, let me run through something. 43 times. Now, let me go through one. Let's look at the term fornication. Fornication is some people's series in their church. Let's see where Paul, how many times did Paul mention fornication? He mentions fornication in Romans 1:29 under the law. In Romans. That's the only time in Romans. In 1 Corinthians, that's where he mentions it the most. 1 Corinthians 5 verse 1, two times. About the brother who had his father's wife. 1 Corinthians 6:13. 1 Corinthians 6:18, two times. 6:13, 6:18, two times. 2 Corinthians 12:21, the church. Those who had seen in the church. 2 Corinthians 12:21. Then, pay attention. 1 Corinthians 7:2, avoid fornication. 1 Corinthians 10:8, history. Those who committed fornication in Israel. It wasn't a major theme in his teaching. In Galatians 5:19, walks of the flesh. Ephesians 5:3, the same thing, walks of the flesh. Colossians 3:5, the same thing, walks of the flesh. For the sons of disobedience. There, in Galatians 5:19, Ephesians 5:3, Colossians 3:5, he's describing the unsaved. Are you there? Are you following what I'm saying? 1 Thessalonians 4:3, he says, this is the will of your sanctification. Abstain from fornication. That means you're already holy. Right, don't do it. Fornicators. Then the word fornication in Jude 7 is for unbelievers. Now the word fornicators, 1 Corinthians 5:11. 5:11, 5:9, 5:10. And 1 Corinthians 6:9, the same thing, talking to the unsaved, relating with that brother who had his father's wife. So the same incidents, 1 Corinthians 5:11, 5:9, 5:10, 6:9. Then Hebrews 12:16, Esau. None of us is Esau. So it wasn't like a series of teaching in Paul's epistles. That's why if we're going to look for things about fornication, you really need to go to the Old Testament. Are you still there? For example, adultery, the same thing. Romans 2, verse 22, two times. The Old Testament. Romans 2, 22, two times. Romans 13, verse 9, quoting the law of the Old Testament. Romans 13, 9, the word adultery. Galatians 5, 19, the walk of the flesh, the old man. James 2, 11, two times. He's quoting the Old Testament two times. Galatians 2. No, that's all. That's all you will see. Fornication. Adultery in the epistles. It's not a series. It wasn't the Bible study manual. It wasn't a book. It was an epistle. Was it happening in the churches? Of course not. We just read it. It was. But that was not the teaching. That was not the emphasis of the new covenant. Was it mentioned? Yep. It was mentioned because it was happening. But was it preached and taught? No. Are you following what I'm saying here? So, pay attention here. So you find the word sin, I said sin earlier, in 1 Corinthians 6 times Paul. 1 Corinthians 6 times. Then 2 Corinthians 5:21, he made him sin for us who knew no sin. In Galatians, he talked about the law, Galatians 2:17. Galatians 3:25, Christ, okay? Christ is redemptive sacrifice. Then Ephesians 4:26, anger. 2 Thessalonians 2:3, the man of sin. Right? 1 Timothy 5:20, the elder that sinned. That's all. Hebrews uses it 13 times. The book of Hebrews. 13 times. And it relates a lot to the sacrifice for sin. 13 times. Hebrews 13 times. James 4 times. 1st and 2nd Peter 3 times. Now pay attention to this. 1st John 15 times. Critical places. 1st John 1:7. cleanses us from all sin. 1 John 2:1-2. If any man sin, he has an advocate with the Father, who is the propitiation for our sin, not only as in the sins of the whole world. 1 John 2:12, your sins are forgiven. 1 John 3:9, he cannot sin. Every time John uses sin, it's positive. Most of the time, pardon me. Positive. What we can't, or what we have been forgiven of. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Right. So, that's the way sin was taught and preached. Okay? Now, there was sinner. There was sinner. Romans 3:7, the law. Sinner. Romans 3:7. Romans 5:20, talking about the grace of God. Romans 5:20. Romans 5:20. 1 Peter 4:18. 1 Peter 4:18. Sinner is not a common word in the epistles. You see it again, sinners, plural, Romans 5:8. And Romans 5:19. When we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. When we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. Galatians 2:15 and 17, the law. 2:15 and 17, the law. 1 Timothy 1, Paul. 1 Timothy 1:9. 1 Timothy 1:9, the law was made for sinners. 1 Timothy 1:15, Christ came to the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. Positive. Hebrews 7:26. The high priest ministry of Jesus. Hebrews 12:3. Jesus' death for our sin. Then James uses it, James 4:8 and Jude 15. Sinners. Again, there was sinned. Romans 6 times. Talking about what happened to man before Jesus came. Romans 6 times. 1 Corinthians 7:28, interesting place. He's talking about marriage. He who has married has not sinned 2 times. That's a wonderful one. 2 Corinthians 12, the one we read earlier. About the sin happening in the Corinthian church 2 times. Then 2 Corinthians 13:2, the same thing. 2 Corinthians 12:2, and then 13:2, 2 Corinthians. Hebrews 3:17, Old Testament. 2 Peter 2:4, the angels that sinned. 1 Timothy 1:10, sinners under the law that sinned. Now, there was sins, plural. Romans 4 times. Same reference, talking about what Jesus has done. Forgiveness of sins, redemption of sins. 1 Corinthians 15:3. Christ died for our sins. 1 Corinthians 15:17. We are yet in our sins. Galatians 1:4. Jesus Christ became delivered us from sins. Ephesians 1:7. Forgiveness of sins. Ephesians 2:1, we're dead in sins, our past. Colossians 1:14, forgiveness of sins. Colossians 2:17. Colossians 2:13. Colossians 2:11. Same thing, forgiveness of sins. 1 Thessalonians 2:16, talking about the unbeliever. Now, 1 Timothy 5:22 is talking about the sins of believers, just once. And then 24, men's sins, open to all. 2 Timothy 3:6, the sins of women. Who go about wandering. 2 Timothy 3:6. Okay? Hebrews uses the word sins 14 times, and all the 14 times the sacrifice for sins, either under the law or Jesus. I have to run through all this. James 2 times. 1 Peter 2:24, 2 times Jesus' sacrifice for sins. 1 Peter 3:18, Jesus' sacrifice for sins. Interestingly, 1 Peter 4:8 covers sins, Peter. Love covers a multitude of sins. 2 Peter 1:9, our sins have been purged. Don't forget, your sins have been purged. In 1 John 1:9, if you confess our sins, it's faithful and just to forgive and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 2:2, alright? It's a propitiation for our sins, not just our sins, but for the whole world. 1 John 2:12, your sins are forgiven. 1 John 3:5, he came, he appeared that he may take away sin. 1 John 4:10, propitiation for sins. Why is it so? Why is it that sin is used 75 times in the epistles as touching what Jesus has done? Why? Because that is the message of the New Testament. The message of the New Testament is not to point out sin, but to point out forgiveness of sins. Look at Luke 24:47. You following me? I know I ran through that. You get it when you get the material. Or else you want to leave this place by 10 p.m. Luke 24, verse 47. Are you there? Why is this so? Were they light about sin? No, they weren't. They were strong about it. Why were they strong about it? Luke 24, 47. And repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations. What are you supposed to preach? Remission of sins. That's the message. That's the gospel. Look at Acts 26, verse 18. Why were they primarily preaching what Jesus did for sins? And where their tone was lower on individual sins. Look at this. Acts 26, verse 18. Are you still there? Paul, Acts 26, verse 18. Let's go. Let's go, everybody. Acts 26, verse 18. Let's go, everybody. To open what? Turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they might receive what? Hallelujah. An inheritance among them which are? You know, he never said forgiveness of their confessed sins. People think Jesus died for confessed sins. He died for sins. So the fellow receives forgiveness of sins. Sins where? Sins. So he receives forgiveness of sins. 1 Corinthians 15:3 was the gospel. How Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. So since these folks were teaching the gospel, that's what they'll be talking about. So their message was heavy on forgiveness of sins. Their message was what? Heavy. Now, before the gospel came, there was a message that pointed out sin. That is not the law of faith. That's the law of sin and death. And so sometimes what we have what I mentioned to you earlier on, we have a cloth, a new cloth, an old one put together that is torn. We have new wine in old wine bottles. Then Jesus said, this one is now worse than the first one. Whenever people mix the New Testament with the Old Testament in their preaching, it's worse than the Old Testament. It's worse. At least the Old Testament will condemn. This one will justify and condemn. You'll be happy in the morning, sad at night. There's a depression and a perplexity that comes when these things are done like that. In one breath, you are blessed. Another one, six ways to be blessed. Then you just say, what exactly does God want? You are blessed. So say, you are blessed with all spiritual blessings of Christ Jesus. Those blessings are in the realm of the spirit. You will need to, why need again? You will need to access it to download it. Hey, Dumbo. If something is in the spirit, that means that's where you're going to use it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Say, if a friend of mine was 50 years back, say, hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, I read the Bible. The Bible said, I'm blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. And chapter 6, he said, wicked spirit in the heavens. That means my blessing and my problem are in the same place. What kind of reasoning is that? You get it. You know why we think we need to do something? Something is working in our mind. It's still there. The law of sin and death is working. Can this be true? That's why people are fighting the message of the grace of God. Because they feel he can't be like this. Have you ever wondered? Jesus will heal the sick and they'll say, why must he do it on a Sabbath day? When it's not Sabbath, do you heal any? Why must he do it on a Sabbath day? Sometimes you feel like slapping their faces. Are you guys okay? Why must he do it on a Sabbath day? Sabbath day says
You must not do anything, including healing the sick. Yes. What if they die? Yes.
That's the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death is to project self. That's why you discover that Jesus' anger, as it were, in the four Gospels, was towards self-righteousness. It seemed like the folks that didn't do fine morally were his fallies. The ones that were morally straight were his opponents. Now, if you do that, if he was around today, he would be called an hyper-grace preacher. Or he'd like say, Jesus, what are you doing? You are giving me a lesson to sin against Jesus? Or whatever you can suffer against someone. They wouldn't have believed this message. Amen. Here you are. Now, someone told me, he said, don't let us misuse the grace of God. I said, how do you misuse the grace? Tell us. We must be careful. Tell us. Do some words. Ask them to explain it. Don't let take the grace of God for granted. Say, tell us how to take it for granted. Tell us. Explain it. Yes, no? When you think that if you do something, God will forgive you. Are you not taking it for granted? Say it again. What do you call it? Grace. What is grace? Something someone does for you without condition. Good. So without condition means you don't need to do anything for him to give it to you. Okay. So how do you take it for granted? Is when you are doing something. I thought I understood. Are you getting my point? Sometimes you catch them in their craftiness. It's the man that is trying to do something that is frustrating the grace of God. Hallelujah. It's the man that is frustrating the grace of God. Watch this now. So, here we are. You there? I have a long way to go here. Okay. So, the Spirit of God in the new covenant. 1 Peter 1. Peter tells us, unto whom, verse 12, it was revealed that not unto themselves they did minister the things which, unto what did they minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that preach the gospel to you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. So, the Holy Ghost is in the gospel. So, if he's in the gospel, what does he point out? Just back up verse 11 and 10. The sufferings of Christ and the glory that shall follow. So, the Holy Ghost will talk about the sufferings of Christ and the glory that shall follow. Good. And that's the gospel. So, if I am ministering by the Spirit of God, I will not minister false. I will minister forgiveness of sins. That's what I will minister. You know, on the day of Pentecost, the first Pentecost, when the law was given, 3,000 people died because of what they did wrong or they didn't do. When the day of Pentecost came in Acts 2, about 3,000 were saved. Not exactly the same thing. But it's just to show something that one gave death, the other gave life. So, pay attention. Why did they die? It's called the law of sin and death. That's what it is. And I told you this before. He says, keep my commandments. How did you think he meant do it? I believe that. If I tell you, keep this money for me, what do you do? You put it somewhere. You won't do the money. So here, keep my commandments. What do you think it means to do it? Okay? You didn't, somehow you need to pull and press for that. So look at Peter's sermons. Because we're coming back to Peter in a moment. Look at Peter's sermons. Peter's sermons, Acts 2:38. Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall receive remission of sins. Acts 2:38. Well, let's run through his sermons. Acts 2:38. You shall receive remission of sins. And you shall receive the Holy Ghost. For the remission of sins, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. 39. For the promise unto you and to all your children that are far off, even as many as the Lord God shall call. Verse 40. With many other words did he testify, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation. Why he had to have that? I don't know. Chapter 3, verse 19. Repent and be baptized, and sorry, be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the time of refreshing shall come to the Lord. Now, he read through and through and through. I didn't need to go through all that. Then in 26, he calls Abraham's blessing unto you first. God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you and turn every one of you from his iniquities. Acts 4:8. His sermons. Being filled with the Holy Ghost. You rulers of the people and elders of Israel. Alright? So what does he say to them? He talks about Jesus. Right? In verse 11, this is the stone which has accepted not of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby they must be what? Saved. Okay. Acts 5:29. We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers, raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hung on a tree. Him that God exalted with his right hand to be the Prince and the Savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Verse 31, forgiveness of sins. Acts 10:42 is best sermon before Acts 15. It says, and he commanded us, Acts 10:42, to preach unto the people. Now he begins to tone down. He tones down. If you notice from verse 2, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5, his message changed. He toned down a lot more. In chapter 10, he talks more about Jesus. Then he says, that means his sermon improved over time. Then he says in 42, to testify that he which is ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead, to give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believes in him shall receive remission of sin. His sermon tempered over time. Why did I go through all this? We'll see some in a moment. That the apostles grew in knowledge. There were things they did earlier on they didn't repeat. So, why was this so? Look at Acts 15. Acts 15 was like a nail on everything. There was a competition or a contention about, in verse 5, some guys were saying that it's needful to circumcise, Acts 15, and to command them to keep the law of Moses. To keep the law of Moses. So at this point in Acts 15, several years after Jesus had been raised from the dead, the church was still keeping the law of Moses. Where they kept it, I don't know. Maybe in the safe, maybe in the corner, but they were kept somewhere. They were keeping the law of Moses. And it became a major division in the church. Now look at what Peter says. Men and brethren, you know that how a good while ago, Acts 15:7, God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And what? And what? And believe. And God, which knows the hearts, bore them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. Look at 9. Let's take 9 together. Putting no difference between us and them. Come on. Purifying their hearts by what? How many times does he mention believe? 2 times. Believe, faith. And look at 10. Come on, let's look at 10. Why you tempt God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear. He summarizes the entire law of Moses as a yoke. Verse 11. Peter is now smarter. Let's take 11 together. And we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. Why did this happen? Of course, he had met Paul in Galatians 2. Galatians 2 experience had happened. So he had to stand up and testify. Well, there are two schools. There are those that believe he met him afterwards. Some said he did before. But there's a fact here that he had been exposed to the Pauline revelation. Why? So over time, his message was tempered. He had a whole lot of the law until Acts 15. You discover that he was struggling with Gentile salvation in Acts 10. He was wondering. He talked about food. I can't eat that which is common. I can't. You know, he still had that mentality. So in his knowledge, in his theology, in his Bible school, in his membership classes, amen, in his crusades, amen, in their membership classes, in the Sunday services, 4 seconds, 7 seconds, even if he was doing 5 services in one Sunday, he was still mixing these things. And you'll find that in how he presented Jesus. Now pay attention. Why? Because the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 3 that in the Old Testament, the law of sin and death, it ministers condemnation. The word condemnation is not a difficult word. It means condemnation. In John 5:24, Jesus talks to someone. Now pay good attention here. I want you to listen very well. If you have been sleeping before, it's time to wake up, or you get in the belly of the whale. John 5:14, not 24. Okay, maybe say John 5:24 first. John 5:44. How can you believe which receive honor of the other and seeks not the honor that comes from God only? Now, put your hand there and go to 24 first. Verily, let's take 24 together. Let's go. 24. Verily I say unto you, he that hears my words and believes on him that sent me has everlasting life and shall not come unto condemnation, but is passed from death to life. See, I don't come to condemnation and pass from death to life. Same thing, Romans 5:16 and 18. Romans 8:1 says there's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. Amen. Now go to John 5 one more time. John 5, he now says in verse 45. Let's take 45 together. Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. Take it one more time. Let's go. Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There's one that accuses you, even Moses, in whom you trust. That word there is categorio in the Greek. Categorio is exactly the word used in Romans, Revelation 12:10-11 for Satan, the accuser of the brethren. Is used for someone who brings an accusation against what you have done. Hallelujah. Are you there? So, he puts Satan, alright, he talks about Moses in the same breath, we hear about Satan doing the same thing. So, accusation of sin cannot be the Spirit of God. It can't be. So, I will not do that. Accusation of sin cannot be the Spirit of God. Whether you ring the bell at 5 a.m. and people are crying, whether you go to an altar call and people are running out and they are screaming, save us, Lord, sinners in the hands of an angry God, or angry sinners in the hands of a funny God, either one, amen, you lost that. It can't be the Spirit of God. Does the Spirit of God bring accusation? No, he can't. No, he can't. No, he can't. Now, Romans 8:31, run there quickly. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Now, when it says who can be against us, that has nothing to do with somebody in your office, your lecturer wouldn't want to pass you, or somebody in your family. The who can be against us. So who shall bring anything to the charge of God's elect? He's talking about the law. The who there is the law. For Romans 5:13 says, for before the law, sin was in the world, but it was not imputed. It was the law that imputed sin. Locus of mind to reckon with it. The law reckoned with sin. Romans 3:19 says the law made the whole world guilty before God. So now that we have the righteousness which is by faith, say who can condemn you? It's not talking about somebody else somewhere. Actually, if we're going to personalize that, we'll talk about Moses. Not Satan. Satan takes advantage of the law. The law works on his own. Law works through man. Romans 4:15. The law works wrath. Remember that? The law works what? Wrath and vengeance. So the Spirit of God does not work wrath. The Spirit of God does not bring any accusation against you. The Spirit of God does not condemn. The Spirit of God will convince the world about Jesus. John 16:8. He will convince the world of sin. Now that word is a very complex word, E-L-E-G-H-O. Now many versions use it for reprove in the sense of to correct. But you see, when you see words used, you look at it in context. That word eleko, pay attention here, is used to provide evidence. And many times it's used for evidence to condemn someone because it's a legal term. Now, when you see words, right, besides the grammatical meaning of the words, look at the contextual meaning. It will convince the world of sin because they believe not on me. So, eleko will be provide evidence to believe. Is that clear? Is that very clear? So, let's look at this. John 16:8. He will provide evidence for the world to believe on me. Amen. He will convince the world of sin. Are you still there? That's what he does. In 1 Corinthians 6:11, he says, such were some of you, but you were washed. Sanctified, justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. That is what he does. So let me ask you, who does God give the Spirit to? He gives the Spirit to sinners. He gives the Spirit to sinners who believe. He gives the Spirit to sinners who believe. Are you following? All right, good. So, basically, and don't forget that, the Spirit of God convinces the world. He's a spirit of faith. He's not the spirit of the law. The law is called the spirit of bondage against the fear. He's a spirit of adoption. Hereby we cry, Abba, Father. He does not bring accusation. He does not bring condemnation. Are you still out there? Good. Now look at Galatians chapter 3. Paul makes a clear distinction. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians 3. Oh, foolish Galatians. Sometimes I think this should be an open word. Oh, foolish Philip. Who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes, I want to point something out to you now. This is today's teaching. So listen very well. And I'm not mean you're going home with me tomorrow morning. Just pay attention. Before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set for crucified among you. This only will I learn of you. Pay attention here. Receive ye, look at verse 2, look at it. The Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. So it says, the works of the law, the hearing of faith. Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you not made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain? Have you yet been in vain? Verse 5, let's take 5 together. He therefore that ministers to you the Spirit and works miracles amongst you, doeth he by the works of the law, by the hearing of faith. Alright. So he's saying, there's a ministering of the Spirit, hearing of faith. Then he says, there is the flesh, or better still, the works of the law. Make that distinction clearly now. Now, pay attention. Miracles were walked when the law reigned. That was in faith. It wasn't called faith. Miracles were wrought. I showed you on Sunday that Hebrews 11 stopped before the law was given. It never mentioned by faith after the law was given. And most of the miracles happened after they crossed the Red Sea. Yet it doesn't mention them as by faith. Come on. Miracles happened. Go to Hebrews 11. Miracles happened after the Red Sea. In fact, that was when the 40 years started to count. And the miracles happened for 40 years, yet it didn't say by faith. Why? It could have been by faith. That's why Paul is saying that he that doeth miracles, is it by the hearing of faith or by the works of the law? Because there were miracles by the works of the law. Let me see if you're following what I'm saying here. Pay attention here. So, how do I know something ministered by the works of the law? Look at Numbers 20. Again, the law worketh wrath. Numbers 20. Here's Moses calling out water from the rock. Numbers 20. Verse 10. Verse 11 says, and Moses took the rod from before the Lord, and he commanded him. As he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto them, hear now. Okay, that's how it goes. You rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? Fear. out of his rock. Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod, he smote the rock twice, and the water came out abundantly. That's smart. And the congregation drank, and their beasts also. The Lord spoke unto Moses, because you believed me not.
Hello?
You see that? Because you what? Believed me not. Was that a miracle by faith? No. You didn't sanctify me for the people. What, did it happen? Come on, did it happen? Did it happen? Did it happen? Did it happen? Was it by faith? Was it by faith? It happened by rock. Did it happen by faith? Hey, are you there? You following? Now, let's show one more person that will amaze you. Judges 16. A man by the name Samson. Judges 16. So you'll know whether is the spirit of the Son of God by what was said. It's not by what was done. Are you there? It's by what was said. I showed you that last week. What was said. Pay attention here. Judges. The book is in Ruth. Judges 16. Verse 20. I will go out at other times and shake myself, and he wist not know that the Lord was departed from him. Good. Look at 28. Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once. O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines of my two eyes. That I may be avenged. Watch this. Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and it was borne up. And of the one with the right hand, and of the other with his left, Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. That's not the spirit of God. Let me die with them. And he bowed himself with all his might. And the house fell upon the Lord and upon the people that were therein. So the dead that he slew at his death were more than the one he slew in his life. Let me ask you a question. Is that the spirit of God? No, go quiet on me. He just committed suicide and mass murder. The spirit is life. Hallelujah. The spirit gives life. Amen. The spirit gives life. Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. Remember how Jesus rebuked his own disciples. He called on fire like Elijah, and he rebuked. Jesus rebuked Elisha in that text. Know ye not the spirit that you are of, the manner of the spirit that you are of. Galatians 4. Galatians 4. You learning something? Galatians 4. Verse 4. And when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Thou art no more a servant, but a son. Not a servant of God, a servant of sin. But of God. If a son, then heir of God through Jesus Christ. We're sons now. Hallelujah. Romans 8:15 says, we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. But the spirit of adoption hereby we cry, Abba Father. 2 Corinthians 3. So in the spirit of the son, there's liberty. Amen. There's freedom. Praise God. There's relationship and fellowship with the Father. There's no death in the Spirit of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Paul makes it so clear that you just need someone to misunderstand what he, help you misunderstand what he said. He began to make a distinction by calling, listen carefully. He says, one was written with ink, the other with the Spirit of the living God. He is distancing what happened from Moses to the people as by the Spirit of God. Is that clear enough? For as much, verse 3, as you are declared to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not in the tables of stone, but in the fleshly tables of the heart. He is telling you that what was given to Israel was not by the Spirit of God. Are you still there? And such trust we have through Christ to God. What? Now we are sufficient of ourselves not to think anything of ourselves, or not, sorry, but as sufficient of God, who has made us what? Able ministers of what? Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter, but the letter what? Letter what? The letter what? The letter what? But the Spirit gives. Was the Spirit of God involved in that death in Samson? No way. The Spirit gives life. Still out there? 17. And if the ministration of death, what do you call it? Ministration of what? Ministration of what? Written and engraven in stones was glorious. Come on, he says there was glory in it. You know, you feel there's so much glory in saying, oh my God, 3,000 people died when they disobeyed. There's glory in that. Was glorious. So that, look at the glory there. The children of Israel could not, that's the glory. They could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses. For the glory of his countenance, the glory was to be done away. How shall not, hallelujah, the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? Let's take 9 together. For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more does the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. Now let me ask you, if the children of Israel in those days, would they not call it miraculous things? But the more Moses worked miracles, the farther they were from God. The more increase in miracles, the more they didn't know who God was. Pay attention to this. He says exceeding glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect. That means the glories were different. For by the reason of the glory that excels. Hallelujah. I love this. For he that which is done away was glorious. Much more that which remains is glorious. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great cleanness of speech. Verse 13. Not as Moses, which put a veil over his face. The children of Israel could not step and look to the end of that which is to be abolished. Hallelujah. They couldn't see. It wasn't of faith. But their minds were blinded. That's not the Spirit of God. For until this day, remember the same veil on taken away in the reign of the Old Testament. Which veil is done away in Christ? Christ takes away the veil. Christ does not put a veil on anybody's mind. Am I talking to anybody here now? Look at this. Even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, oh my God, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Hallelujah. When there's a working of miracles by the Spirit of faith, you will see the glory of God. You will see the righteousness which is of faith. You will not see condemnation. Now the Lord is that Spirit. Which Spirit now? New covenant. The Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, rather than understand this verse, we'll use it for praise worship. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, oh glory, there is liberty. What kind of liberty? We all with open faith. Behold us in the glass, the glory of the Lord. Hallelujah. We are changed in the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of God. So there's liberty in the Spirit of God. Are you still there? So there was glory in what Moses did, but it's not our own kind of glory. Are you there? Our own kind of glory has liberty. Has liberty. They'll say, now that you are here, now that you are here, the Lord is saying, if you don't want, now that's not the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. You know that? That's not the Spirit of God. In the Spirit of God, there is liberty. Watch this. Alright. That's why Romans 8, 15, Romans, Galatians 4, 5. Galatians 5, 1 says, stand therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free. Be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. He calls the law bondage. The law cannot produce faith. All that was done, then he called it bondage. Pay attention now. So the Spirit of God has liberty. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 30. You see some folks that will say, when the Holy Spirit is moving, be careful. I remember a service. The man of God said, and I was so stunned. He said, you know, it was, say I was ministering somewhere, and he came in frowning. And then somebody is sat in the wrong seat. As I cast out the devil from someone, he flew on him. You have to be careful where you sit. So you're playing keyboard. Holy Spirit! Holy Spirit! Be careful. Everybody kept, it's moving now. Be careful. Everybody, what's wrong with you? Holy Spirit! Holy Spirit! Holy Spirit! Come and help us! Come and help us! He's putting a veil over your face. That's what he's doing to you. There's a veil over your mind. You will never know the Holy Ghost that way. That's Moses there. You will never know the Holy Ghost. Never.
Oh, Holy Spirit.
I'm not joking now. A veil is over your heart. A veil is over. That's not the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. A veil is upon your heart. It's to mystify what has been given to you free. Hallelujah. Someone said this. When you want to make Christians look stupid, share experiences with them. They will forget the written word. It's your experience that they will remember. Are you still there? This is vital. Look at it. Someone said, but the Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit. Now, if that word, grieve not the Holy Spirit, means don't make him angry. I was sharing that with someone last week. I said, don't make him angry. That means the Holy Spirit has the capacity for anger. No, he said the works of the flesh is anger. The work of the Spirit is long suffering. So you have to understand what he meant. He's not, don't anger the Holy Spirit. That's not, then that means the Holy Spirit needs to walk in the Spirit. So that he will not fulfill the laws of the flesh. So let's see what it means. Ephesians 4. Let no corrupt communication, verse 29, proceed out of your mouth. But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. I checked that word, grieve, not the Holy Spirit. That word means, it's from an old word, lupio, L-U-P-E-O. It's used for sorrow and sadness. Sorrow and sadness. Pay attention. Which is taken from lupe, L-U-P-E. Lupe means distress, to make uncomfortable, to make uneasy. So don't make the Spirit uneasy. Uneasy about what? Exactly what he was talking about. Put away bitterness. This is contrary to the Spirit of God where you were sealed. It's not something in a Holy Ghost meeting. It's in your everyday conduct. Do not put distress, make the Spirit distressed. That's what he's saying. By what? By anger. He actually said, put away anger. He can't say, put away anger so that the Spirit would not be angry. Well, if he can be angry, I can be too. But good enough, the Spirit of God referred to there is a man born of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Why he's saying it's a stressful, he's saying that it's not your nature. Amen. Anger is not my nature. Bitterness is not my nature. Hallelujah. Are you still there? So Moses walked miracles. Moses walked miracles by the law of sin and the more he walked miracles, the more he condemned. The more he walked miracles, the more bondage they were in. There are some folks really doing a good job with Moses today. The more he walked miracles. But I thought the miracles came from God. No. If miracles come from God, like you say, how is walking of miracles a charisma? There'll be no need for gifts. Amen. Look at John 6. Jesus said, you know, Moses said a couple of things. He said, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven. But what did Moses tell them? That the bread came from heaven. Was Moses lying? No, he just didn't know better. He gave you not that bread which was from heaven. Nothing has come from heaven save Christ and the Spirit. Nothing has come from heaven. Bread is in this earth. Fire in this earth. Water, wind, everything is in this earth. Moses gave them bread. And Moses is a funny person. He gives them bread, then he tells them, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. But I don't think they paid attention. In Matthew 4, Satan came to Jesus, turned the stone to bread. If you be the Son of God, thou will have been the law of sin and death. And Jesus responds, really? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Amen. So you can see, there's a miracle walked by the law of sin and death. And there's a miracle walked a law of faith. Jesus later on turned bread, multiplied it, but it wasn't out of condemnation, it wasn't to prove a point. Amen. That would have been the law of sin and death. He did that to meet the needs of the people. Amen. Very simple. So, there's a law of faith, there's an area of faith. Jesus ministered miracles and there was complete freedom. Jesus spoke hardly against self-righteous folks. But when he ministered miracles, there was complete freedom. Look at John 5. Somebody asked this question. Let me just quick run through that. When he healed this fellow, he told the man, he said in John 5:14, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. If you know how people have twisted this verse, you have mercy. Sin no more, lest a worse sin should come on you. Look at that word, sin no more. Now, what do you mean by a worse sin should come on you? Man is already sick. Sin no more. What do you mean by sin no more? Remember, he said that to that woman in John 8 who was caught in adultery. Neither do I call him, go and sin. What could he be talking about? In Matthew's Gospel 12:45, the same word that lest a worse sin comes upon. Put your hands in John 5 and then go to Matthew 12:45. What do you mean sin no more? Matthew 12:45. Then said he, that's a demon, he gave them a parable. I will return unto my house from whence I came out, and when he is come, he finds it empty, swept and garnished. Then goeth he and takes it with himself, 7 other spirits, more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so it shall be unto this wicked generation. What's he talking about? If you just back up, he was talking about rejecting the Christ. He was talking about unbelief. That with unbelief, he says, a worse thing shall happen to this generation. A generation that rebels against the word of salvation. Now listen, when he said to that man, a worse thing will come unto you. He was talking about unbelief. What's the worst thing? The worst sin is not sickness. John 5, just read down 28, 29. He was talking about eternal damnation. Lest the worst thing should come on you. He wasn't talking about if you commit sin, then something else, another sickness will come on you. Because in John 9, they asked the question, who sinned? This man, Ishmael said, nobody sinned. Jesus never, ever called sin the reason why people were sick. Are you following what I'm saying here? So when he singles out sin, just like he told them in John 8, that they did not believe him, he was talking about unbelief. When he said that woman in John 8, 11, go and sin no more. Why? They brought her to him. She didn't come herself. In John 5, he went to meet this blind man, this lame man, at the pool himself. So basically, those two people didn't come to him of their accord. So go and sin no more. They didn't come for his meetings. They were not present to hear him. So he wasn't talking about their individual sin. He was talking about belief. Believing in him. Are you following what I'm saying here? So he's just talking about individual sins. If it were so, how many folks did he ever tell that why you're sick is because of your sins? No. Not one single person. In fact, in John 3, he says God did not send his son to the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Are you still there? Quickly look at this. So, Jesus ministered differently. In Luke 7, remember, a woman comes and she's on his feet, you know, kissing his feet and stuff like that. Then he says, woman, your faith has saved you. Your sins are forgiven. That's what he preached. Somebody else comes, they bring in the lame to them and say, your sins are forgiven. Why did he say that so many times? Because he's not ministering like Moses. He's ministering forgiveness of sins. He's ministering the grace of God. He's ministering what God gives freely, the mercy of God. In Luke 19, it goes to the house of a man named Zacchaeus. Popularly not liked. The guy's not on everybody's good books. What does he say to Zacchaeus? He said, today, salvation has come to your house. Hallelujah. Salvation has come to your house. It's Luke 19, verse 9 to 10. I've come to seek and save that which is lost. So go to John 4, quickly. Now, let's present this scenario. In John 4, he comes and he sees a woman. Now, listen very well. Because we're coming to a very important part. He comes to a woman and they meet at the well. And he says to the woman, if you knew the gift of God, you would have asked him. Now, the history of this woman is interesting because she has had 5 husbands. Not just that, she had a living lover at that material point. She crossed the line with Moses' law. How would you have ministered? Now, Jesus had a word of knowledge. That means the woman was talking about salvation with Jesus. Do you think you guys own salvation? And she had 5 husbands. Like a woman, man 1, man 2, man 3, man 4, man 5. That's the husbands and the surnames. And then he says, go call your husband. And the woman says, well, I have no husband. And then he says, you have said well, you have no husband. You've had 5, the man you're with is not your husband. And he comments the fact that she told the truth. They don't say, so, is that a good lifestyle? You know, he knew something supernaturally, yet the way he ministered freedom. He didn't make her feel crazy. She said, I perceive he's a prophet of God. Would you have talked to Moses like that? You perceive what? You know, he ministered liberty. She had the guts to call people. She said, this man told me all I ever did. Glory to God. There was liberty in the way he ministered.
He told me, and she got up, she's preaching about Jesus. Praise God. I thought she'll be kneeling down in the altar as they do today. Well, it's good they call it altar. You have been sacrificed. Five husbands. But then this woman has had five husbands. But God has mercy on her today. In fact, when she came to the church program, there was a man in her house as her husband. But God revealed it to his prophet. When his prophet told her, she began to cry. And I said, ah. God is in that church. She was not crying. Kone, Jide, Bode, God, everyone, even Matthias, that is a whole. She immediately received ministry. See how revelation gives her to be ministered. Not. You know, Jesus didn't say, the man you're with, I saw what you did last night. He didn't say that. He didn't call her name. He didn't call her name. And he had a word of knowledge. He didn't say, I know you married the first one, June 8th. Mamba, Kaka, Keke, Kalaka. 1992. Did I tell you more? Yes, my love. my God. You have bought four children. Kalaka. Ah, the poor of them are crying out. Kalakaka, kalakaka. Ah! That is a genuine man. You have not known what has come against you. Watch this now. Immediately, she said, you're a prophet. They talked about salvation, talked about worship. She went ahead and said, this man told me everything I ever did. There are so many people that believed in Jesus in verse 42 because of him. That's the spirit of liberty. Hallelujah. That's the spirit of liberty. The spirit of liberty will bring salvation. Amen. Now, just suppose that with the great man, Peter, his own word of knowledge. Before I test Peter's case, put your hands in Acts 5 and go to 1 Corinthians 14. Ananias and Sapphira, right? I mean, if that were to happen in many churches today, I guess you just have a funeral service also today. Alright, you pretend like you didn't hear what I said. Did you give everything? Ah, everything. I brought everything. You just brought gala outside. Kept back part of the price. The wife was privy to it and they brought a certain part lead to the apostles. There's an argument whether they were Christians or not. And it makes it just more difficult the way Peter spoke. Peter's stuff are always mysterious. He also makes Acts 8, Simon the sorcerer look like he's not a Christian. So his ministry is always very difficult. You don't know who was a Christian. That's exactly how the law of sin and death is. There will be a veil upon your mind. Acts 5. I thought you lost that. He says, Satan, fill your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost. That's what the law of sin and death. What does it mean to lie to the Holy Ghost? Even Moses never said this. What does it mean to lie to the Holy Ghost? The word lying in the Bible is to lie to one another. There's nothing called lying against the Holy Ghost. This is anger. The law works wrath. He's just angry they scoped him. That's all. Then you kept back part of the land. While it remained, was it not your own? Otherwise, was it not your own? Calm down now. Why have you calling in your heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. Sir, he lied to men. Satan filled thine heart. And Ananias, hearing this, fell down. That's not the spirit of God. How can you hear the Spirit of God and die? What happened here? There was fear. Great fear. Everybody, don't go for that church. Go. That's not the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God. That is, God has not given to us the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. There is no fear in love. for fear has to man. Hallelujah. Perfect love casts out fear. There's no fear in the love of God. If you found out that they kept back, doesn't come, guys. You guys don't have to do that. Right? God holds the heavens and the earth. He doesn't need what you're bringing. Alright? It's to meet the needs of the church. Alright? You don't have to lie about what you gave. That's how to preach the gospel. Now, what do you think you have done? Count 10 minutes. You're on your way out of life. That's Moses. And the reason why Peter was still like this was they were still ministering the law of Moses. Okay? The wife came. Sometimes it's good not to take too long. She took long enough not to know what happened in church. That's very funny. He came to service. She didn't see your husband. She had waited a bit. But she goes straight to the pastor, part forward. And then knowing what was done, she said, well, Peter again went to her. Now, why would you go again to go and ask her the same question? What were you looking for? False. He was looking for false. You agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord. Behold, the Spirit of them which bring your husband out the door and they shall carry thee out. How can that be the Spirit of God? Did you ever see Jesus minister this way? Not one person's life was lost. Even somebody's ear that was caught. In the cabin, he put it back. You won't use my hand to do bad things. Are you there? And great fear came upon all the church. And upon. Have you noticed that when they said there was fear here, the fear here is not the fear of God. Let me show you where there was the fear of the Lord. That was not the fear of the Lord. That was not the fear of the Lord at all. Acts 9:31. And the churches had rest and were edified, walking in the fear of the Lord. Acts 9:31. They were edified, walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost and were multiplied. That's the fear of the Lord. The other fear is not the fear of the Lord. It's the fear of death. So, here's Peter. Look at 1 Corinthians 14. Let's assume they were even unbelievers. Paul says, if you come together and you prophesy, and then an unbeliever comes in your midst, he says, he is convinced of all, verse 24, he is judged of all, and thoughts are the secrets of his heart, the things, you know, anybody will know, are manifest. And so falling down to die, no, on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of the truth. Now, what's the difference? That means he came not knowing the Spirit of God was there. He probably came to find out whether the Spirit of God was there or not. And then you revealed by word of knowledge of revelation what was in his heart. He doesn't die. He worships God and reports of the truth God is with. That's what the Spirit of God does. To convince the world of Jesus. See that there? Are you there? So, it's so funny. How has God dealt? Look at before the law. How did God deal? Abraham, Genesis 13. Abraham, a man that just been justified. He goes to Egypt and they ask him, who is this woman? Genesis 13. He says, she is my sister. He lied. Why did he have to lie? He wasn't lying for protection alone. He was lying to get advantage. Genesis. He was lying to gain advantage. Genesis 12, I mean. He lied to gain advantage. So, they took him in. And what happened? He became prosperous. He became prosperous. For our sake, my soul shall live because of thee. It came to pass, he was an Egyptian. They beheld the woman that she was fair. Genesis 12, sorry, not 13, verse 14. The prince saw her, commended her before Pharaoh, and the woman was taken to Pharaoh's house. For 16. And he entreated Abraham well for her sake. That means he now began to treat Abraham well. That was how Abraham had sheep, oxen. Don't forget, Abraham left where he was because there was famine. So he wasn't doing fine financially in verse 10. And how did he make more money? He made more money by lying. Abraham's blessings. Sheep, oxen, houses, men servants, maid servants. They gave him so much because he lied. Let's go on.
Don't forget again, under Moses' law, he should have died. Under Moses' law, he was having sex with his own sister, half-sister. Noah was drunk. Crazy guy. Lot slept with his daughters. Let me mention this quickly because this is bad. There was no homosexuality in Genesis. Why? Because people were marrying their siblings, incest. Let me say that one more time. People married their siblings, incest. There was no homosexuality in Genesis. Let me say one more time. Have you ever read Exodus 1:19? Pay attention to this. Pharaoh says nobody must allow the Egyptians, I mean the Jews, to have kids, Hebrews. And the Hebrew, everybody, Hebrew women, say if you are a Hebrew woman, Hebrew woman does not do CS. Hebrew woman, that statement was a lie. They lied to Pharaoh. That no, it's because of the way they give back. They give back so quickly. They were telling lies. They were assisting them. You know, Hebrews 11 says, Moses was hid by faith. I'll show you one more. By faith. There's one more. One more. Don't be quiet yet. Hallelujah.
Joshua 2:4. One more. One more. One more. One more. Joshua 2:4. I'll start from one. Joshua the son of Nun sent out Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. Joshua 2:1. And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. It was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there are men in Edom tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho, verse 3, sent to Ahab, saying, say, bring forth the men that are with you, or that are come to thee, which are entered into thy house, for they will come to search out all the country. The woman took the men, hid them, and said thus, there came men unto me, and I don't know where they were. And the Bible says, by faith, Rahab hid. And that kills religion totally, right? It just destroys religion, right? By faith. Hallelujah, Shandai. Yeah? Amen. By faith. She lied. I don't know. Bible says by faith. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. So hey, Peter, that was anger. And where there's anger, Ephesians 4:27, give no place to the devil. Anger gives place to the devil. And the law walks rust. Where the law walks, the devil will work. Will you find miracles? Yep. I told you all the plagues in Egypt was a function of Moses' vengeance. That's what happened. All. Jesus is God to man. Not a single person lost his life. When they died, he raised them up. Said, I have not come to destroy. I have not come to destroy. Hallelujah. I've come to seek and save that which was lost. Hallelujah. He didn't come to destroy anybody. Are you still there? And if the Spirit of God will testify of Jesus, he will not be part of anyone's death. Amen. He found anger. Where there's anger, there's the devil. In Acts 16, Paul sees someone who goes around motivated by the devil. See, these are the men that show us the way of salvation. The Bible says in Acts 16, Paul, grieving the spirit, said, come out of her in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's what we do with the Spirit of God. We cast out devils. We don't kill the possessed. We don't kill the possessed. We set them free from the hold of the devil. That's what we do. Well, here's Peter writing. That's why it's not good to attend a church where they don't teach the gospel of Jesus. Ananias and Sapphira went to the wrong church. Peter now writes, many years after, 1 Peter 4:8, above all, have fervent love among yourselves. Love shall cover the multitude of sins. Say what? Say what? Sir? Say what? Hallelujah. Love what? He writes in 2 Peter 1:9. Say anyone that does not walk in love has forgotten that he himself was purged from his sins. Sir? He was just growing. And he was mixing the grace of God and the love was. Now he can boldly write. Do you know that when he writes about judgment in his epistles, he's saying that day, sir, you had executed your own that day. There's a ministry of the Spirit. There's a ministry of the Spirit. It's by the hearing of faith, not by the works of the law. He doesn't bring death. He doesn't bring condemnation. The glory of this covenant is the glory of Christ. It's the glory of the risen Lord who died for our sins, who was buried for it, and raised again the third day for our justification. In Him we have hope. In Him we have faith. In Him we have righteousness without works. Hallelujah. That's what we have received. Next week I'll share how to do evangelism. Amen. By the Spirit of faith, the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Many of you need to repent. Amen. And I'll teach you how to do evangelism. Are you blessed tonight? Stand to your feet, lift your hands and worship God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.